Welcome to Echoes from the Empire.
Today, our perception of faraway countries and cultures is still dominated by our Eurocentric perspective. Eurocentrism means that Europe is considered the center and everything else is at the margins. This behavior can be proven by the fact that we still speak about the discovery of countries, although there were often indigenous people living in those very countries before Europeans discovered them. Furthermore, the indigenous culture is often measured by measuring it with the European one. This Eurocentrism often imposes European inventions, values, and culture on foreign countries, thus erasing what used to be there. The roots of this arrogance can be found in the 400-year-long European domination of the world. The British Crown played an important role in this domination, the effects of which are still palpable today. There have been negative, but also positive effects in the past and today. On the one hand, the British rule was accompanied by conquest and exploitation. In addition, the displacement of people, slavery, and the destruction of traditional cultures were part of the British Empire. On the other hand, the Brits brought economic growth and structural improvements to those colonies. Furthermore, they established the educational and healthcare systems. The following podcast will give an overview of the history of the British Empire and address its ambivalence. The term the British Empire is used to refer to the imperial rule of Great Britain over different dominions spread all over the world in history. This time span can be divided into three periods. The beginning is what you could call the First Empire, which was followed by the Second Empire. The subsequent period of decolonization, with the foundation of the Commonwealth, marks the ending of the British Empire. The period which sets in with the creation of the Commonwealth can also be called the post-colonial era. The colonial origins date back to the discovery of the New World at the end of the 15th century. The discovery of new territories and trading passages came with it. In the 16th century, private trading posts spread step by step over the new dominions. Besides curiosity concerning the new countries, other reasons for people trying to get their foot in the door there were economical interests and personal welfare. Britain's strong navy and the nation's wealth allowed the companies to trade with the dominions. Many individuals and companies earned more money than they could have dreamed of and became very, very powerful. The most well-known was the East India Company that was able to secure exclusive rights to trade with the Indian market in 1600. At this time, India still included today's Pakistan and Burma. In this first empire, that was also the beginning of globalization. All relations and interactions between the dominions and Great Britain were built up in the private sector. Therefore, all benefits went to the traders and not to the British government. Even the wars over territories were led by armies paid by companies. As a consequence, instead of the British Crown, the East India Company ruled India during the First Empire. Nevertheless, this period is seen as the First Empire because it was indirectly under British reign. Furthermore, during this time, settler colonies were found in Northern America, Canada, Australia, and later on in New Zealand. They belonged to the British government. In the middle of the 19th century, rapid technological progress changed the society and the economy. Telegraphs, railroads, and steamships facilitated trading and made the colonizers even more superior over the indigenous peoples. Besides these technological improvements, the political system in the colonies changed too. Under the mission statement, "Flag follows trade," the British government got involved in colonial affairs. So the British administration, called the Raj, began its rule in India in 1858. By putting representatives of the British Crown in powerful positions in India, Britain reigned over India with only 900 officials. In addition, the British had turned many indigenous Indians into loyal administrators and soldiers. Finally, the different Indian tribes were not united, which reminds very much of the tactical scheme of divide and conquer. The Second Empire became also more and more political because of power interests in Europe. Especially Germany became an imperial power in the late 19th century. British expansion should therefore prevent other European countries from becoming too powerful. While the settler colonies, such as Canada and New Zealand, already claimed for self-governance in the second half of the 19th century, all European powers wanted to annex new territories. Therefore, the so-called scramble for Africa set in. To legitimize the takeover and exploitation, a supposed supremacy of the white race was propagated. According to this ideology, the white race had a missionary task regarding the indigenous peoples. The civilized whites should bring light and progress into the dark corners of the world. This ideology was supported by symbolic actions that should make the people proud to belong to Britain. The competition over power and influence in the world ended in the First World War that Germany lost. In 1918, Britain was at the peak of its power. One quarter of the world's surface and one third of the world population were under British rule. Therefore, some people said, the sun never sets in the British Empire. But the loyalty of the settler colonies had already been weakened by the fact that they had been granted a parliament of their own. From the end of the First World War, national movement became more and more powerful in the colonies. Some self-governing states signed the Treaty of Versailles, therefore already on their own, whereas only Britain and the British Empire had signed the Declaration of War in 1914. In 1931, decolonization began also officially with the Statute of Westminster. The former British Empire was now the Commonwealth of Nations, with the members of the Commonwealth all having equal rights, but the Queen would still be the official representative of all these nations. These members were Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the Irish Free State, South Africa, and Newfoundland. The Commonwealth should help economic cooperation and the spread of human rights and democracy. Today, the Commonwealth of Nations has 54 members, among them India, Pakistan, and South Africa. After the Second World War, one colony after the other became independent, even though some of them were ill-prepared for an independent democratic governance. One of them, which became well-known through Gandhi, was India, gaining independence in 1947. Even in the period of decolonization and in today's Commonwealth, however, British society is still strongly influenced by the Empire's history. When the Nationality Act of 1948 declared all colonial subjects to be British citizens, the first wave of immigration started. The so-called Windrush generation is the wave of immigrants from the West Indies to Britain who were looking for work. Although they were welcomed in Britain at the beginning, they became victims of discrimination in everyday life and also in politics, because more and more financially motivated immigrants arrived. Although the immigrants first came as sojourners and did not want to stay in Britain, most of them did, and so they have permanently changed British society until this day. Immigrants and their British-born children still struggle with discrimination, and British society will, one day, have to face the after-effects of the once-so-mighty British Empire in order to have a future. The problematic effects are also shown in literature. Short stories as The Black Madonna and My Son the Fanatic deal with these effects in modern world. Other short stories as The Force of Circumstances and A Meeting in the Dark have a look on problems people were confronted with in the past.
Thanks for listening to Echoes from the Empire.